You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo, yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a few topics that we have prepared and some that we don't have prepared because some pieces of news are breaking as we record. So it is going to be a little bit of a hectic show, I think, to say the least. But thank you for joining us for the ride. And we hope you enjoy this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Make sure to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. All you got to do is search the Crispy Noodle, and you should be able to find us. And you can chat with us. In real time as all these news stories break. And if you know what we're talking about, then you're a step ahead of the game because we will be following all of the free agent moves in the football world. Mike is excited. We're going to get all of that in just a little bit. But before we actually delve into all of the news, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Trying to keep up with the hectic free agency moves in the NFL.
It has been.
It has been wild.
But I don't want to get into it yet. But
we have a whole segment devoted
right.
to that. But somehow I found the time to go see Captain Marvel.
I did too.
And we can't talk about that because that's also planned for later in the show.
All right.
So
this is what we did this
separate
weekend.
Separate from those two things, yeah.
Everything has revolved around the NFL free agency and Marvel Universe, pretty much.
Yeah. But I also found time, you know, between those two big things to play a few video games. I finished Titanfall 2, which isn't a game you've probably heard of. Okay. Not many people have played it. It's a first-person shooter. It's a sci-fi first-person shooter that came out, a year or two ago? And nobody really paid much attention to it, even though it did really well in the critical circle. It got an 89 on Metacritic. But I recently bought it on sale. It is, like, perpetually on sale. And I was able to get this game, Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1, for $15, the two games together. So I said, two games for $15? Why not? That sounds amazing. And it's a very short campaign, so it's not like a big, huge time sink. I'd say it's about 7 hours long. And it's actually really, really good. Very rarely do you see first-person shooters with a good story in it. You know, usually mm-hmm. it's focused on the multiplayer stuff. This game was different in that you could tell they put a lot of effort into their story. It's basically you are an up-and-coming soldier who goes into battle against, you know, whatever generic space Nazis are the bad guy in this game. And your commanding officer dies in combat. And before he dies, he transfers ownership of his huge battle mech thing to you, this rookie soldier. And the only way for you to survive behind enemy lines is to pilot this battle mech that your commanding officer left to you through enemy lines. And you get sent on this wild goose chase of a mission to fulfill your dying commander's last objective, which is to, you know, find and destroy the secret weapon that the space Nazis are building that's going to destroy your home planet. And, you know, it's a fairly generic story, but it's a lot of fun because the movement is all very seamless. You're running on walls, you're sliding, you're jumping over stuff, you're double jumping over gaps, and then you transition from that, jumping straight into your giant mech and just tearing enemies to bits. So it combines the parkour movement with the first-person shooting with the giant mech battles, and it all comes together to just make this really fun, calamitous first-person shooter. There's a few minor puzzle-solving and platforming sections, one that involves time shifts, which was really cool, a whole level devoted to like time anomalies and stuff. So it keeps changing things up. And the parkour comes into play as the levels are, like, falling apart around you. Like, one level is collapsing, and you have to run through it And it's not so much focused on the shooting as it is navigating through this crumbling world. So it does a good job of constantly reinventing itself, constantly throwing new things at the player for you to tackle. And it also, the story makes, it gives you a little bit of feels too. You know, it's not The Last of Us, but it does have a very good heartfelt story.
They put some effort into
it. They did. They put some effort into it, more so than most other first-person shooters. So yeah. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's usually why it's not my bag of...
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
usually not my go-to.
I would say...
First-person shooters are usually just basically, you're good, other guy bad. You
yes.
shoot other bad.
Yes, that's basically it. This is a little bit more... I mean, not much more nuanced than that, but at least the gameplay really carries the more generic story. But... it was still interesting enough to keep my attention for, you know, 6-7 hours, whatever the campaign was. Not a huge time sink. It is perpetually on sale. It is one of those quote-unquote hidden gems everybody's always talking about. So if you find it for 15 or less, I'd say give it a shot. And if the story isn't enough to sell you, it also has a really good multiplayer that I have yet to try out, but people online really love it. So Titanfall 2, highly recommended. It's a shame I missed out on it the first time, but honestly... it's not worth it at the full game price point. So okay. It's better to get it now on sale.
There you go. Full review from
there
Michael
go.
There.
Full 2-year-old review. You know, you got to play them as they become available.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have time to play everything launch day.
Right. You only save the mega heavy hitter ones, like Rockstar Games.
Right.
You know, something like that. Right. That's when you go day one.
Yeah, you know.
In Rockstar, we trust.
Right. Rockstar, Naughty Dog. It used to be Mass Effect for us. Those are the games you say, okay, you know, launch weekend, that's what I'm doing. Everything else, you can wait. And this is a perfect you can wait game.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
There you go.
That's what I did that in addition to everything else. Rich, what else have you been up to in the week since we were last on the show?
I want to say happy birthday to my mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice. Congratulations,
yeah.
Mrs. Liebig.
That's right. Yep. We had a little party for her on Saturday night. So that was
nice.
Yeah.
Did she cook or did you guys?
No.
Okay.
But we were also lazy. We just ordered Chinese food.
Hey, Chinese food is Chinese food is good.
Yeah.
That's something that my parents would, that's something they would do too.
Yeah. So now, I mean, yeah, so it all worked out. It was all good.
That's good.
But in the interest of time, I think I'm just going to end it there because also the other thing I wanted to mention that I actually did was Captain Marvel as well. So
I know.
I don't want to get into it until we get to the entertainment entree. So, I'll just leave it there. We'll cut it short, because we do have a lot of news to get to in the sports sampler. Let's launch into it. Time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Now, usually we do a 2-minute drill, but we're actually going to skip that.
We have so much to get to.
Right. And I'm even skipping free agency for a little bit, because before we delve into all the NFL news and everything, there's something I need to mention.
Okay.
And it is, and the reason why is because it is getting absolutely ridiculous. We're going to the NBA, and we're going to talk about franchise owners for a little bit.
Okay.
Because I can't believe how ridiculous these owners are, and the way these teams are being managed. So first off, this is the more recent story, and this is kind of what the importance was to mention it this week. We're going to talk about the New York Knicks first off, because James Dolan, I don't know how this guy got this far in life, because he acts like a complete baby whenever he gets criticized or anything.
I feel like this name is familiar.
Yes, it is.
Okay. We have talked about him before.
Yes, we've talked about him before. He's known for banning previous players and...
That's...
Yeah?
Patrick Ewing or something
like
that?
No, it wasn't Patrick Ewing. No, he's too big. No. But it was a past star of the Knicks, that he banned courtside because he criticized him a little bit.
That is babyish.
And, well, he's done it again. This time, a literal random fan that happened to be sitting by him who heckled at him and said that he should sell the team. Literally.
He banned this person?
Yes. He told security, get that guy's information. He is banned from Madison Square Garden.
How is that possibly enforceable, though?
I guess if you get his information and you give it to all the ticket takers, you can't sell him a ticket? I don't know.
Okay, but what happens if his friend buys a ticket and he walks in with his friend?
I guess maybe give it to security guards. I don't know.
See, this is the perfect example of somebody who just has way too much power and too much time on their hands.
Yes.
And also, how did you become an owner with skin this thin?
Right.
If I banned...
You're in New York!
If I had the power to ban everybody that criticized me, the entire world would be banned, Rich.
I thought New York is supposed to be the place that you can handle criticism and everything.
Right, yeah. I thought they were supposed to be all macho and tough and shouting people down.
I'll tell you what. This guy wouldn't survive a damn second in Philadelphia.
Not at all.
Absolutely. If this guy ended up being an owner of a Philadelphia team...
Oh, my God.
He would get run out of town within the first day.
Either that or the stadium would be empty from everybody he would have to ban.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's going to ban everybody from going into the stadium.
In which case, he would go bankrupt and he would have to leave the city. So in either case, he ends up leaving the city.
Yes. By the way, this criticism is absolutely warranted because the Knicks have the worst record in the NBA at 13-54.
Hey, you know the best way to shut up hecklers? Perform.
Yeah. How about try winning a couple games?
Yeah.
How about actually try and put together like a cohesive roster? How about actually having a strategy?
Yeah, this is not the fans' fault. This is definitely his fault for leading this team into the gutter.
Yeah. And I can't believe he's getting away with this.
I guess, I don't know. Do basketball owners just have like this unlimited power that they can wield? Like, what are there any checks and balances on them?
Well, that'll be the follow-up question in just a little bit.
Oh, okay. But, oh, I can't read ahead.
Yes. Yes. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But let me give you Exhibit B as part of my as part of my case here. So we have the New York Knicks owner going freaking crazy with his criticism and the fan and everything. I also have to mention the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Can you
what
name,
about them?
How about this? Don't look at the paper. Can you name anybody on the Phoenix Suns?
No. Not at all. Even if I look at the paper, I wouldn't be able to tell you a single person.
There you go. The Phoenix Suns are simply, in a word, embarrassing.
Okay, how embarrassing?
They are ridiculously embarrassing. All right. First, let's go over what put them in the news recently.
Okay.
Their star shooting guard, Josh Jackson.
I take it he's not that good then?
I guess not, because he missed a local appearance with fans.
Oh, you can't do that.
Come on.
You can't do that.
Come on.
You got two jobs as a professional athlete. Play the game and show up to all your stupid media appearances that are you're contractually obligated to appear.
Yes, it's not that hard.
No, it's
not. I've worked these events. You show up, you shake hands with everybody, put on a smile, maybe autograph something, and that's it.
And they're always gone in like 2-3 hours anyway.
Yeah.
It's like the shortest gigs ever.
This is not that hard.
Yeah.
This is not complicated.
No.
This is just maintaining your active schedule.
Yes. That's a great way to put it. All you have to do is check your calendar and show up at certain places. Nothing is being asked of you.
And the team is paying you a good amount of money to do these.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Maintain your active schedule. I love that.
And this guy couldn't do it. So he misses the appearances. He missed the appearance with fans. Apparently he did feel bad, but get this. He wants to buy everybody that did show up to this thing. He wants to buy them free beer.
So how's he going to do
that? First off, how are you going to do that? Because you're going to have to track down everybody that showed up or whatever.
Right.
But secondly, what about your people? What about your fans that are under 21?
Right.
The people that are the youth, the people that the NBA are trying to lure into their product.
You can't just hand little 9-year-old Timmy a beer, be like, sorry, I didn't sign your jersey.
Yeah, here's a Miller Lite. Toughen up.
Yeah, here's a Miller. I hope he could spring for something better than that, at least.
I don't know.
That's wild.
Because
usually at these signings, you have a lot of old people and you have a lot of young people.
Yes.
A lot of kids look up to athletes.
Right.
And you're like, I'm just going to buy them off with beer. It doesn't work that way, buddy.
Yeah.
Little Timmy wanted an autograph. He wanted to shake your hand.
Beer.
Not a beer. What's little Timmy going to do with a beer?
Except develop
a drinking problem at the age of nine.
This is so absurd. It sounds like one of my odd news stories. Think about this.
Yeah.
This sounds like this should fit in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It really does.
But no, this is an actual sports story. So, of course, now with this flub that went viral this past week, people looked into the Phoenix Suns. And wow. How about this?
Okay.
Can you name me a single Phoenix Suns player in the history of Phoenix Suns history.
No. I feel like at some point Steve Nash.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Yeah, that was bad.
I just pulled that out of my ass. I was like, I'm gonna take a shot in the dark here. I want to say Dirk Nowitzki, but I don't think he played for them.
No, he was Mavericks.
Steve Nash.
But Steve Nash, you're right.
Yeah, but when's the last time he played for them?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked that.
A decade ago, probably.
So, to go back into their recent history of the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
They have not had a winning record in nine
That's bad.
Seasons.
That's really bad.
Nine.
Wow. That's really bad.
Nine. You're literally at a decade of just not doing anything.
Wow. Look, yeah, that's really shameful.
Look, the NBA isn't as doesn't prioritize parity as much as the NFL.
Right.
But oh my God, you get the top draft pick. Some of them should have bloomed by now. You should have maintained a couple of them.
Right, and to have a winning record, you only need to win 42 games.
Yeah, 41. 40, no, you're right.
42, to have a winning.
To have a winning record, yes. You have to be 42 and 40, yes,
you can
right.
lose 40 games.
Yes, and you would have a winning record.
And still have a winning record. That, like, you're losing a lot.
So, can I just, for the record, I just want to go over this, please, if you'll give me the quick time here. All right.
Sure.
2010 season, 10th place in the Western Conference, 40 and 42. 2011, 10th place Western Conference, shortened season due to the strikeout, 33 and 33.
Oh, my God.
That's a shortened season. That shouldn't even count. 2012, dead last in the Western Conference, 25 and 57.
Ooh.
2013, 9th place, 34 and 48. 2014, 10th place, 39 and 43. 2015, 14th place in the Western Conference, 23 and 59.
Ooh.
2016, 24 and 58, 15th place, dead last in the Western Conference.
Oh,
2017, 21 and 61, dead place in the Western Conference.
They're getting worse and worse.
Yes, and now this season, they currently sit 16 and 52, dead last in the Western Conference.
16 and 52, the season's almost over.
Yes.
What are they doing?
Yes. What the hell is happening?
That's atrocious. They actually, at first I was like, okay, they're only missing it by one or two games. They've gotten progressively worse as time goes by.
Yes.
That's terrible.
To go back to the point of players.
Okay.
The last time the Phoenix Suns had a player that actually won a season-ending award, you know, like,
points leader or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, offensive player of the year or something like that, was Grant Hill. In 2009, who won Sportsman of the Year, which that really shouldn't even
count. Even, yeah.
Then it's Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, my God.
Most improved player.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really, it has been over a decade since they've done anything of note.
That's it.
That's crazy.
That is it. No other singular player contributions since the 08-09 season.
What have they been doing for the past 10 years?
Nothing. Literally.
Are they even trying? They've been getting worse. Like, I know the Sixers got worse, but, like, it was all
part of the process.
Part of the process. Like, there was a plan. Like, is there a plan here, or are they just really that awful?
I think they're that awful. They have no idea what the hell's happening with this team. They don't know where their players are. They're supposed to be doing media appearances. They don't know where they are.
Yeah, how do you not have eyes on your star player? Like, where's his handlers? Where's your media people? Where's your PR staff? Where's...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the more you describe it, the more I'm like, yeah, like, how are they even a functioning franchise? Also, Phoenix, maybe that's your problem. What's in Phoenix? Nothing. Move to a better city.
I think Arizona plays there, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, well, what draft pick do they have, Rich?
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily help the argument.
Yeah. So, now to wrap it all together... I want to ask the question, when is it too far? Is it finally time that the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, I think this is the line in the sand. I think he has to come and intervene, and he's got to correct these horrible owners. This is atrocious.
Yeah. Well, whether it's an owner acting out, as in Nolan, or it's an owner that is just letting their franchise go, like the owner of the Suns, or dare I say, the owner of the Sixers back when we were doing the process, letting teams abuse the system. In either case, it falls to the commissioner to sort these issues out, either come up with, you know, a new way to create parity in the league or create some sort of repercussions for owners that step out of line. They should be handled the same way that these leagues handle players. You would never let a player do something like that. You would never let a player throw games. You would never let a player talk back to fans like that. So why is it okay for owners then to do those things?
Yeah.
So I think 100% that the commissioner ultimately should step in and do something.
Yeah. Because this is mind-bogglingly bad.
Yeah. And if you're the type of person that says, well, the owner shouldn't interfere in the franchise owner's operation of the franchises, well, to this I say, guess what? Part of being a team, a franchise in the NBA, being part of a league, means that you have a certain responsibility to uphold the image and the brand of that league.
Yeah.
So you're tarnishing the image, the brand, and the value of that league that you're a part of. You're not an island. You're part of, you know, 29 other teams that come together to make a league that is a brand, that is a business, that is, you know, a company. Yeah.
You're trying to sell a product.
Right. And people sometimes forget that in sports, it's like they don't care. They don't care about how much we care. It is a brand for them, and you're damaging the brand. So at that point, you need to do what any good company would do and be like, hey, stop crapping over all over my brand. Maybe Adam Silver doesn't care. Maybe this, in a weird way, generates hype. Maybe he wants this. Maybe he wants drama. Maybe the NBA is reality TV. That's why they allow these big, you know, big four and big five teams to come up. That's why they let the Sixers trust the process. That's why they let Dolan attack fans. Maybe this is all part of a scheme to create brand awareness. Is that crazier than the alternative? You know, I'm actually really enjoying the story because it's completely insane.
Right. That's why I knew I had to at least mention this. I know we had a lot of,
like, you know,
crazy news coming up, but we have to mention this.
Yeah. You know, I'm always NFL first. And whenever I see stories like this, my first thought is like, nothing like this would ever, I can never dream of anything like this happening in the NFL.
Yeah.
The way that it's so controlled and contained, and the way it's very crafted, the whole experience of the quote unquote NFL brand. You know what I mean?
Something that I also want to touch on real quick is I feel like in the NBA, ever since we've had this new era of super teams, it's just been like, if you're not at all a part of this movement, of this super team movement, then it's like your seasons are lost. It's like, why even bother to play? And I feel when you have that attitude, it eventually stems to the owners. And I think this is where we're getting stories like this. Nobody in the Phoenix Suns cares what they do on the court because they know they're not ever going to make the playoffs in the next, you know, in the immediate future.
And so that goes back to my point is, does the NBA allow this because, in a weird sort of perverse way, it drives more viewership and more ad revenue because of the attention it creates? You know what I mean? Like, what's the alternative? To crack down on it and then, what, you get called out for being draconic and authoritarian? You know, that almost has the opposite effect. So are they going with a freewheeling approach because it's working in a weird sort of roundabout way?
I hope not. Because now...
Wouldn't that be awful if the commissioner's like, this is what I want. I want drama. I want craziness. I want, you know, unbridled insanity.
I hope not, just for the sake of the fans of the Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks.
Yeah. And basketball fans everywhere, why do you want to watch a league that's this openly, you know, chaotic?
Imagine if this was the 76ers. Like, we just did, we don't care about, you know, when our players show up to media appearances. You know, it wouldn't fly.
Yeah. It almost, the more I talk about it, I'm almost convinced that it is a form of controlled chaos to generate impressions online and in the media.
Mm. Well,
what do you think?
I don't know. I
isn't it almost too weird to, like, how's the commissioner not stepped in?
I don't know.
He would have to be willfully ignoring it, right?
He might be. Maybe he is. Maybe he has that, you know,
hit us up, Adam
attitude.
Silver. We'll do an interview. We'll sort it all out.
Yeah, maybe he has that laissez-faire attitude, just like, no, it's their organization. I can't say anything, you know? But I don't know. In the meantime, I just feel bad for these fans of these ownerships, that of these teams that has just such poor ownership.
Yeah.
And I think it's a major reason why the NBA is never going to be as big as NFL and Major League Baseball. They don't care about the fans.
You have to shepherd your brand appropriately.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Which is why all the news the past week has been focused on another league that knows how to properly manage its brand.
I'll give you that. All right. We'll delve into football news now because Mike has been bursting at the seams. We have a lot of NFL free agency moves to talk to.
Can you blame me, Rich?
Yep. But I wanted to make sure we covered that NBA story because it was ridiculous.
It was a good story. I'm glad we did.
Okay. Good. All right. Full-blown NFL free agency moves. Where do you want to start? Because it's just been – my head's been spinning with all the free agency moves.
It has been so hard to track everything. We're going to do our best to try and hit all the major news bulletins. Let's start with the simple ones first. Teams that aren't necessarily making huge – I'll just have this disclaimer that any other year, the moves we're about to talk about would be the headlines.
Right, but they're not.
But they're not. These are – the minor headlines. Minor headline one, the Redskins traded for Case Keenum. Remember him? 13-3 with the Minnesota Vikings a few years ago?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So he went to the Broncos, didn't work out there. Washington Redskins traded for him. They gave up a sixth for Keenum and a seventh. How bad was Keenum with the Broncos? For now, now they're getting him for bargain basement prices. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. They just wanted to move him. I guess John Elway loves Joe Flacco.
I guess so. And the Redskins are desperate for a quarterback, so they were willing to take anything. So Case Keenum, we have that to look forward to now in the NFC East.
I just want to point out,
yes,
the Redskins right now, their quarterback roster is Case Keenum, Alex Smith, who's injured, and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Isn't that the most pathetic group of playoff quarterbacks you can imagine?
Yeah, they've all played
in the playoffs, so they're decent, but they've just never done anything with it.
Right. I never thought of that. But now the Redskins get to say, well, we have this amazing depth at quarterback.
They say his career's over. That injury was gruesome.
Well, he had the bad injury, the one that ended Joe Theismann's career.
Yep.
And then it got infected.
Yeah.
So he's definitely missing all this year, potentially part of next year. And at that point, Yeah. Even if he does come back,
why would you even come back two years removed?
Yeah. That's a shame. He was just turning around. He's had a really rough go of it. That's like a whole story in and of itself, the trajectory of Alex Smith's career. Because I think he got a raw deal from the start. He's always been somewhat talented, but he just never had the right system and weapons and coaches to make it happen. Yeah. But anyway,
yes.
Another quarterback who was almost at one point done with football entirely, quarterback Nick Foles.
Yeah, he's probably happy he came back to football.
Signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sad to see him go, but he's not very sad after signing this four-year, $88 million deal. Wow. He was ready to retire.
I would just like to mention to anybody that was complaining at us saying that we need to keep Foles the last couple of months.
How?
Look at those numbers.
How?
4 years, $88 million. I think 50 of it is guaranteed.
Yeah, a lot of it is guaranteed,
and
I think.
There's no way the Eagles would have been able to keep him on board and Wentz.
No way.
So there you go. I rest my case.
$50 million in guaranteed money. With incentives, could be worth up to $102 million.
So Foles, take him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get this. I mean, obviously, you want your Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback to stay with the team, but realistically, you can't create that cap space to sign him.
Right. Not in the NFL.
No, not at all.
Also, sorry to all the fans of The Good Place.
I know. No more Blake Bortles.
Right.
Or Jake Jordles.
Yeah, you can't throw a Molotov cocktail and say Bortles.
No.
Sorry.
Oh, I love The Good Place. It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I started watching that.
Yes.
But anyway, another small headline. Again, small headline. Chiefs trade linebacker D Ford, who they had just franchise tagged, to the 49ers for a 2020 second round
pick.
Yeah,
that just broke recently here in the Crispy Noodle headquarters.
Yeah, big news. He's a big-time, big-name linebacker. Just signed a new deal with the 49ers, 5 years, $87.5 million. Woo! We're seeing mega deals for linebackers this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, if you're top five at your position, yeah, you're getting paid.
You're going to make that money.
Kansas City gets a 2020 second round pick.
That's pretty, that's pretty good compensation.
Yeah.
Can't talk. yeah, for a linebacker, linebackers usually don't carry that sort of value.
Yeah.
But when but you're when you're one of the top in your position.
Yeah, that's a pretty good draft pick to have.
Yeah. So those were some of the minor headlines. Now we're going to talk about our hometown Philadelphia Eagles because they have been moving and shaking in free agency. First, a little bit of inaction on the Eagles' part. They're not exercising offensive lineman Stefan Wisniewski's contract option. So they're going to let him walk, which, of course, creates a little bit of liability along the offensive line. Although we did re-sign Seumalo. We re-signed Jason Peters as well. He was already under contract. But we restructured him, dramatically cuts the cap hit. Now there's only $5.5 million guaranteed, up to $10 million with incentives, which he'll probably never hit because, let's be honest, he's not going to have the playing time.
Yeah, usually gets hurt.
He probably will get hurt. But, you know, still, offensive line is an area of concern. We definitely need to address that in the draft. Another area of concern, linebacker now. We're seeing all these big linebacker deals. Here's another one. Inside linebacker Jordan Hicks signed with the Arizona Cardinals, 4 years, $36 million. That's a lot of money for somebody who's often injured. But, I mean, he was talented when he played.
Yeah, he was very talented when he played. But, unfortunately, when you have that, you know, disqualification, you know, when he played.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to justify signing him to another contract, especially when we're already cash-strapped.
Yeah.
So it made sense that Hicks was going to be gone.
Yeah. It sucks to see him go. He was one of my favorite defensive players.
Yeah.
But
he was always a good guy.
He never had
any bad incidents or anything.
The real concern is that now we have, you know, a big gap to fill because really now it's just Nigel Bradham.
Yeah.
That's basically it. So they got to figure out something there. Maybe to help alleviate that, they did fill one of the concerns that we had here along the defensive line.
Yeah.
The Eagles signed former Jacksonville Jaguars veteran defensive tackle Malik Jackson to a 3-year, $30 million deal.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. This was like the Eagles were listening to you, Mike, because you called this.
Yeah. I had been concerned seeing all the defensive linemen leave the past few years. You know, Michael Bennett got traded and Vinny Curry left a few years ago. So Tim Jernigan, we didn't exercise his option. So we definitely needed somebody to fill that gap. And Malik Jackson, he's been very good at that position. I'd say top 10 at that position. So you pair him with Fletcher Cox and then Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett on the outside.
That's a scary four.
Yeah. And is Haloti Ngata back? And we still have Chris Long under contract. So, you know, the defensive line is working. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like they're definitely going to take one in the draft. Apparently, the draft is very deep at defensive line.
Yeah, it would surprise me if the Eagles don't address that in one of their first three picks.
Yeah, so expect that to be even bolstered further. So already solving one of the weaknesses we have. Another weakness that the Eagles addressed was wide receiver. And this would have been my headline of free agency had other stuff not happened.
Yes.
But I am super excited to announce that DeSean Jackson is flying home. The Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers agreed to a trade. Jackson is coming back to the Philadelphia Eagles. He just signed a new deal, 3 years, $27 million. I like it.
Yeah.
I like the terms of the contract. I like what DeSean Jackson brings to the team. We know what he brings to the team.
Yes.
We've witnessed it firsthand.
Yes. I am absolutely ecstatic for this move. I've
been telling them to bring him back for years, haven't I?
You're telling me that we potentially could have a three-wide receiver lineup of Alshon Jeffery, DeSean Jackson, and Nelson Agholor? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is a solid receiving core.
Also, I know it's technically not he's technically not a receiver, but Zach Ertz underneath.
Right, Zach Ertz.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Because you know what DeSean Jackson does for an offense. He takes the top off. What do we mean by that? So when you look at when defenses line up, where do the safeties play? Do they keep them at the normal 10-yard marker? Do they bring them into the box to stop the run? When you have a fast wide receiver, they end up moving back. You know,
yes, because you have to block against the big play.
You have to account for it, and that's something we have not had. Safeties playing against the Eagles the past few years have always been about that 10, 11 yards off the line of scrimmage, right? They're ready for anything, run, pass. But with a player like DeSean Jackson, what that does is it forces those safeties back. So
at least one of them.
At least one of them.
Back.
I would argue both of them because Zach Ertz stretches the field. Alshon Jeffrey is a big target. So, you know, we witnessed it in the late 2000s, what that did for our offense with how electric it was with DeSean Jackson originally. Back in his prime, safeties were backing 20 yards off the line of scrimmage.
To make sure he didn't catch a home run.
That gives us
home run
so,
touchdown.
That's right. That gives us so much room underneath for Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. It helps the run game by keeping those safeties out of run support position. He really is an X factor that changes how the offense works.
Yep. And he's still got the speed.
It's funny, at dinner I was bringing up that next-gen stats clocked him as the fastest wide receiver last year. That over, I think it was like close to 20% of his plays last year, he exceeded 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Faster than Tyreek Hill.
He's still got the speed.
So he's still got the speed, and Carson Wentz has the arm strength. We're going to see fireworks.
I think so as well. So.
I am very excited about this.
Yes. This was definitely a big move for the Eagles. But
it wasn't the biggest move.
No, we have bigger moves to talk about.
Speaking of wide receivers, though, two of the biggest are making huge waves. First up, we knew this was going to happen. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown traded to the Oakland Raiders for a third and a fifth round pick. What happened there, Rich?
Wow.
Steal of the century? Question mark?
Yes, for lack of a better word. The Raiders really make out here. I can't believe that the Steelers went this low. Third and fifth round pick. This is
what were they supposed to do? Antonio Brown didn't want to play, and teams knew that. And the Raiders
it literally
just
sank his trade value.
And this is, I'm going to rail against the Steelers. This is their own doing.
Yeah.
This is the Steelers' own doing. Whatever they're doing, however they structure contracts, that all these players are having issues now with contracts, this is now coming back to bite them in the ass. And they're going to have to restructure Ben Roethlisberger soon, or they're going to have to move on, get another quarterback. But they're running into trouble now. It's like all snowballing now.
The Steelers, in the middle of all this, still have to pay Antonio Brown, I think, 18 or 20 million of dead cap space.
That is just awful.
Yeah.
That is just such a handicap to them.
Right. I don't understand how this trade went through.
You don't see other teams having these issues.
No.
I don't know what it is, what the Steelers are doing.
Except for the next one.
Well.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
But the Raiders getting Antonio Brown is such a huge coup for this organization.
Especially, they have, as you pointed out last week, three first-round picks.
Yeah.
How excited should Oakland/Las Vegas fans be?
Yeah, really it should be Las Vegas.
Right. Oakland fans are pissed. They're like, all these moves, and
yeah,
then they're
going
to leave.
Yeah.
But how excited should Raiders fans be?
They really should, because now
is this a turning point for them?
I think so. I think they can at least they'll contend. They won't be the laughing stock of the AFC West.
That division is going to be tough.
Yeah,
I think so. Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos are always they usually have a good defense. I don't know about this year,
and three first round picks.
Yeah,
look what it did for Cleveland. Which we'll get to right now because,
oh boy,
wow, I can't believe this news broke literally right before we hit the record button and we're ready to go. Mike gets the text message. He just turns to me and just goes, Odell Beckham got traded. And everything just went silent.
Everything
changed. The world stopped.
It was the trade heard around the world. The Cleveland Browns.
What?
The Cleveland Browns.
The team that we have been making fun of during our whole existence here on the Chris Mule podcast has just pulled off one of the biggest moves in NFL history.
Just ridiculous.
Should we play their theme song?
Play the theme song.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. The flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse, though. At least we're not Detroit. We're not Detroit.
Well, guess what, Cleveland? You are not Detroit. Right,
no.
Right now, you guys are in the power seat in the AFC North. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but there it is. Everything is crashing. Oh, my gosh. Everything's crashing. If you had to ask me right now who the favorite is to win that division right now, I think it's the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Mamma mia! Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm saying it right now. Unless Le'Veon Bell goes to the Ravens, I think right now the Cleveland Browns are the favorite to win that division.
Yeah, I mean, this move definitely catapults them into serious AFC North division winner contention. But before we get into that, we never gave them the parameters of the trade. So let's go back over and talk about what exactly was exchanged here. The New York Giants sent all-star wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. in exchange for the Browns' 2019 first and third round picks and safety Jabril Peppers, which is a big loss for the Browns. But I'm seeing reports that they're not done yet. So this is all going to change by week's end probably again. Probably going to pick up more players. But as of right now, that team is looking absolutely stacked.
Yes.
Should we go over their offensive roster?
Yes.
As to why we say that. Last year, just to give some context, they went, 8-7-1 without Odell Beckham Jr.?
I want to go further back.
Okay.
2 years ago, they went 0-16 with Hugh Jackson.
That's right.
All right. Can we please take a step back as to how far they were in the hole?
Right.
They were 0-16.
The addition of Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry.
They get 3 first-round draft picks in the upcoming draft, including the number one overall draft pick, Baker Mayfield. They go 8-7-1, fire Hugh Jackson, actually start to turn the franchise around, and then bam!
OBJ. Yeah, so if Baker Mayfield...
This is parody at its finest.
Yes, absolutely. This is why the NFL is so much better than every other league. I'm just going to say it once again. Prove me wrong. So the addition of Baker Mayfield and all that other talent last year got them 8 wins, plus 8. So now OBJ, that's got to be worth an extra win or two.
I think so.
Even more. A lot of those games are lost by 3 points.
Yeah.
They tied one. These are games that easily swing one way or the other. Now you have somebody. OBJ is one of those rare wide receivers that is strong, fast, athletic, and can basically do everything from that position.
Yes.
So, we were fawning over DeSean Jackson taking the top off the defense. OBJ does that. He goes over the middle. He does everything. So this is going to be, this is a huge get for the Browns.
Yes.
Like, I can't begin to express how this changes the power balance in the AFC North and the NFC East.
Yes.
Because the Giants now...
We'll get to the Giants.
There's so many ripple effects, Rich.
The Cleveland Browns are peaking at the perfect time. The Steelers are crumbling apart, losing Brown, losing Le'Veon Bell.
Ben Roethlisberger's got 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah, Roethlisberger is, he's hit away from being inactive. The Bengals are also in a free fall, too, because they don't know whether or not Andy Dalton is the quarterback they want to keep on anymore.
Right. The Ravens are in a period of transition.
The Ravens are the closest is the Ravens, because I think if the Ravens land Le'Veon Bell and you pair him up with Lamar Jackson, I think that's your only counter in that division
still
gonna
be,
to the Cleveland
there's
Browns.
Still going to be growing pains, though, with a second-year quarterback.
A little bit. Well, so will Baker Mayfield. He's a second-year quarterback, too.
But he's throwing to OBJ.
That's a good point.
And
I think, though,
let's go over the rest of the offensive roster.
Yes.
For the Browns.
Yes.
Because,
a look at this.
This isn't just speculation. We're basing it in, solid fact here. Quarterback Baker Mayfield, great rookie season. Going to be, I think, potentially better with all these weapons. At running back, you have Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson.
Nick Chubb is a beast.
They are a dangerous duo. But everybody's forgetting one key thing that you brought up pre-show.
Yep.
Kareem
Everyone forgot.
Hunt.
They have the rights to him.
Yeah. He's going to miss 10 or 12 games, possibly.
Whenever the suspension comes down.
But if they go 500 in those first 10 to 12 games, he could be a difference maker late in the season. In yep. those tough, close games in the middle of winter, you know, I just thinking about it, there's so many weapons there at wide receiver, OBJ, obviously, but they also have Jarvis Landry.
Yep, and they were teammates, too.
Yeah, so that's looking really good for them. And at tight end, they have David Juku.
Juku. And he is a outstanding tight end.
Yeah,
a good plug-and-place tight end, by the way, if... You need some for your fantasy football team.
There you go. Already thinking about the fantasy implications here.
Got to.
Not to mention they've also made moves on the offensive line and the defensive line. They're really building this team aggressively this season. They're in a win-now mindset. They see their division crumbling around them, and they say...
This is their time.
They say, guys, we were competitive last year, and these other three teams arguably got worse.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is their time now. This is the time to strike.
It's our time from the Goonies.
Right.
You know?
I think the Cleveland Browns right now are the strongest, as of right now of this recording, and assuming that Le'Veon Bell doesn't go to the Ravens, I think right now the Cleveland Browns are the strongest team in that division.
What bizarro alternate universe are we living in right now? I saw that come across. You know, we were sitting here prepping the show, getting ready to go. All right. Ready to go? Yeah, let's finish up the rundown. I look at my phone. Oh, my God. Everything has changed.
The whole universe has changed.
Because it's not just the AFC. I love how we're both still checking our phones occasionally just to make sure
just
that
in
nothing
case.
Else is
yeah.
happening.
Because, you know, anything could happen.
But it's not just the AFC that is experiencing this type of change. We also have to go to the other side. The team that got rid of OBJ, the Giants, in the NFC East, this has big implications for them and for us as another NFC East team. What the hell are the Giants thinking?
Yeah.
That's what's at the tip of this whole thing is, we were talking before the show, there has to be some plan or strategy here from the Giants.
I would hope so. There may not be.
You would hope so. There might not be, because they're getting rid of OBJ, but he still counts $16 million against their cap in 2019, which is going to hinder them, just like Antonio Brown will hinder the Steelers. So you have to think, they're making a play for something. What could they be making a play for? Giving up such a big player for, you know, this wealth of draft stock and safety Jabril Peppers. And both of us immediately thought, they're sixth overall in the draft. Are they making a play for a quarterback?
Oh, yeah. I think if Dave Gettleman doesn't get a quarterback in this draft, he's lost as a general manager. He's going to get fired.
Would that be them losing free agency if they give up OBJ and don't get a quarterback?
Yeah, he will be the laughingstock of the NFL, and he will get fired, period. He needs to come out of this NFL draft with I don't know, however he wants to do it, either at the sixth pick or trading up to ensure he gets a quarterback. But if he does not get Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray in the first six picks, he's fired. The next day, he's fired.
Yeah.
Next day. Like, that's how egregious
this would be. You don't trade away one of your top two offensive players and not have something else in the works. That would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely catastrophic. So we're both in agreement. We think that this is all in support of them moving up to take a quarterback.
Yeah, or at the very least,
well, what else could be their play? Because you had also said, what is going on behind the scenes? Do you think that is also a factor?
Yeah,
here?
that's another thing that I was surprised at is their willingness to get rid of Odell Beckham
right.
Jr. If you remember last season, there was actually a little bit of murmurs last year.
There were.
That he was on the trading block.
And, you know, as I was researching the trade, there were apparently rumors earlier this week that had sort of gone unnoticed because of all the Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell talk. But there were rumors earlier in this week as well that he was on the trade block. But what would spark them to do that?
Yeah. I find this so weird. Like, is he really that bad behind the scenes that you're willing to get rid of him?
Well, you always hear that, though. Locker room problems with certain players. And then they have a change of scenery, and they become, like, Angels. Alshon Jeffrey had locker room problems with the Bears.
Yeah, now he loves Philadelphia.
Right. So you do see that occasionally where you Jay Ajayi, same way, locker room problems.
Yeah, it wasn't popular with the Dolphins. And then comes the Eagles, win the Super Bowl.
Sometimes it's the team. I wouldn't want to play for the Giants.
Not right now.
You know? So maybe the locker room problems are you know, a byproduct of bad team chemistry, bad organizational management. Because the alternative is that he really was a locker room problem and that the Browns are taking on more than they can handle. And that's a scary thought for the Browns.
But for the Giants right now, I'm just really surprised that they were willing to part ways with him. This guy is a top five wide receiving talent.
I'd say even top three. I mean, they just
just dealt him like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
Also, right now, if I'm Saquon Barkley, I am pissed off.
Oh, absolutely.
Saquon Barkley was drafted last year, and there was a whole article, front page of, might have been the New York Times. It was one of the New York newspapers on their sports section. And the headline was literally titled, "We're Going to Win Now." And the article was about how Dave Gettleman assured Saquon Barkley that they believe drafting him with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr., they thought that they were in a win-now mode to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
If I'm Saquon Barkley right now, and I'm seeing Eli Manning not being able to throw down the field and not being able to run out of the pocket, and now Odell Beckham Jr. being traded away like I would be pissed off.
Let's go back full circle. What did we say about DeSean Jackson taking the top off the defense, right?
Yeah.
So if we reverse engineer that discussion, what we talked about taking the top off the defense, let's reverse engineer that. What does the loss of Odell Beckham Jr. mean for somebody like Saquon Barkley? He'll still get his numbers. He's a very good running
yeah.
back. But
he's going to get numbers, all right.
But what happens?
He's going to get number of tackles, a number of people on him.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I think he'll still be very good, but it's going to be that much more difficult when they're stacking 9-10 guys in the box because they know Eli Manning can't throw down the field, and even if he wanted to, who's he throwing to? So Saquon Barkley will be facing an uphill battle that I'm sure he'll overcome, but at what cost? How many touches is he going to get? 300, 400? What's that going to do for his body in the prime of his career?
He's going to get hurt.
Behind an offensive line that's not very good?
Unless the Giants have another move in play coming up or something, or maybe they draft a wide receiver or something. I don't know. Unless they address that, Saquon Barkley's going to get injured this year.
That's why I'm almost certain they are going to try and trade that sixth for the number one overall pick to try and get a quarterback. And then save that 17th overall pick they got from the Browns to take another skill position player. Mm-hmm. They need to. Otherwise, like you said, this free agency period, this offseason is a wash for them.
More than a wash. It's a major loss.
It's a catastrophe.
Yeah. So real quick before we end this segment.
Yeah.
In case it doesn't happen, and in case the Giants actually have no plan, I would like to play this clip because this is someone tweeted this out. This is what Odell Beckham should say to Saquon Barkley as he walks out of MetLife Stadium for the last time, and I think it's appropriate. Please, Odell, help out your boy Saquon Barkley here.
I'm going to get you out of here. I promise you, I'm going to get you out of there. You don't belong in there. I'm going to get you out. I'm going to do everything it takes to make sure you get out of there. You don't belong in there.
Yes, please help out Saquon Barkley.
I love that so much because I can actually picture something along those lines happening.
Yeah, because right now, Saquon Barkley,
it's not looking good for him.
Yeah.
If you're running back behind that offensive line with all those weapons just gone, and you're thinking, I'm going to have to run or catch this ball 400 times this season.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else on this team. That's not looking good.
No. So, there you go. That is all of the NFL odd news that we can get to. Or NFL, you know what?
NFL odd
like,
news, there
all
you go.
It seems like odd news right now. Everything.
That's what it is.
Between the basketball news and the crazy moves in the NFL, it does seem like odd news. So, you know, I'm going to stick by it. All of the odd news in the sports sampler. It's been crazy. But thank you for sticking along for the entire ride. We're going to take a little bit of a break. But coming up next, we got the entertainment entree, and we're going to talk about Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah, we got more to talk about, and then actual odd news. So don't go anywhere.
Jam-packed show.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Plenty of news still to come.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hi, I'm game show host Todd Newton from Whammy, Family Game Night, Hollywood Showdown, and more. And I don't know if you've heard about the 24-hour game show marathon. It's happening June 8th out of the great city of Philadelphia. And this is where four super fans come together to recreate 24 of their favorite game shows. It's really cool. But they're not just doing it to have a good time. They're doing it to raise some money for a great cause, Child's Play. Really helps out children and families that could use a little assistance. If you'd like to donate, please go to GameShowMarathon.com. GameShowMarathon.com, and it is there where you can watch all of the festivities again on June 8th from Philadelphia. We appreciate your support, and long live game shows, baby. Game Show Marathon.
Oh, yeah, waking everybody up. All right, we had so much of the sports sampler to delve into. I hope you guys didn't fall asleep during the football news and everything happening there.
NFL news, nobody's sleeping through that.
I hope
kidding
not.
Me?
I hope not. Man, I tell you what, you mentioned this, I think I might have mentioned off the recording, but it's kind of like just excitement just everywhere because it's like, yeah. Oh, my gosh, like, you know, the Browns are doing something. The Raiders are doing something. Oh, my God, all these names are being moved.
It has been one of the biggest NFL free agency periods I can remember in recent history.
Yeah.
And I said this off the air. I said, this is the type of show that we do this for.
Yeah.
Crazy NFL news, Captain Marvel, all this stuff going on. It doesn't get better than this.
That's right. So you know what? Let's launch into the second part of our show so we can continue the excitement. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
I guess that's what the Giants are saying to themselves after that trade.
Oh, yeah, they sucked this past year. They're probably going to suck again. They're absolutely right.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah.
I was just reading some posts on the NFL subreddit, and I saw somebody posted a link to a Twitter comment from an unnamed AFC executive that said if they had made that Beckham trade for that little, they would have been fired.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how we keep circling back to it? It changes everything.
It does.
I can't.
That trade was massive.
Yeah. We got to focus on something else, though. Because we'll just keep going on and on and on.
All right. All right. I swear from here on out, now we're done the football talk.
But
I had to dedicate the random sound clip to that clip.
No,
because
I agree.
I feel like that was so appropriate.
It is.
All right. So now we're going to switch gears officially into the entertainment world. And before we get into Captain Marvel, there's one thing that I want to discuss as someone who's a massive fan of game shows, as someone that puts on the game show marathon that happens in June. There's this bit of news that broke last week, and it definitely broke my heart. And it was the fact that Jeopardy host Alex Trebek has been diagnosed with cancer, pancreatic cancer, and he posted this YouTube video so that he could clear the air and explain in his own words what's going on.
Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me. Keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
There you go. Alex Trebek telling some very grave news, but like a boss.
Yeah. I have to say that was really, I don't want to say the perfect way to announce something like that, but as good as you can get.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He did it professionally. He was open. He was honest. He was heartfelt.
And he was uplifting,
too. And he did it all with that classic Trebek cadence, you know, and you like to see that. To see him facing it, you know, facing it down and saying that he's not giving up. He's going to fight it. Regardless of what the prognosis is, he's not going to stop.
Yeah.
And that's classic Trebek right there.
Right.
You know?
So, I wouldn't expect anything less from the legend himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, although it was grave news to hear, I think Trebek is taking this the best way that he possibly could.
Right.
The video is great. I love the fact he's like, I can't. I have three
years
on my contract.
Three years left on the contract.
Yeah, so he's gonna negotiate with Father Time.
He's gonna restructure the deal. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, no. Godspeed to him, man. Everybody's pulling for him. I think.
Yes, we are here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast. So definitely some news that we had to cover there before we get into other news. So. Alex Trebek, you're definitely in our thoughts, and as a massive fan of game shows, we're all thinking about you. All right, now it's time to get into the other heavy hitting news that we've been waiting and anxious to talk about. We have to
do This Week in Entertainment.
Oh, that's right. I really want to talk.
I was like, whoa.
I'm sorry. I totally skipped your... I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. No, it's all right.
All right. Here we go. Sorry. This Week in Entertainment.
I was like, Rich, that's a fantastic segue for another topic.
Sorry.
It's one of those weeks. I love it.
I really want to get it. I'm sorry, Mike.
It's all right. I'll be quick.
Let's do Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I'm so... Well, I think
nothing I have can live up to Captain Marvel, apparently.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. It's
all right.
I'm sorry.
This movie might not be Captain Marvel, but it sounds good nonetheless. The Mustang hits theaters this week. This new drama tells the story of a convict in a Nevada prison who tries to escape his violent past by participating in a mandatory rehabilitation program training wild horses. He soon comes face to face with his own humanity as he tries to tame an unbreakable Mustang. It has a 75 on Metacritic so far, and I gotta admit, the trailer was better than I expected. It looks like a classic, heartwarming, semi-hokey tale, but give it a shot nonetheless. The Mustang coming out in theaters this week. In television, this actually looks really good. The Act is a new anthology series premiering on Hulu Wednesday, March 20th. This first season follows the stranger-than-fiction true crime story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard as she tries to escape a toxic relationship with her mother, who is accused of abusing and controlling her by fabricating illnesses and disabilities. Gypsy's journey eventually leads to murder. And the trailer...
Ooh.
Yeah, the trailer was harrowing...
Yes,
it was.
Tell me more.
I gotta say, man, the trailer looked really good. The acting looked really good, and it's got this perfect blend of like creepiness and true crime. But it's not done documentary style. It's like a dramatized version. So you know, it's got some big heavy hitters: Patricia Arquette, Chloe Sevigny, whatever. Butchered that. But good actors and actresses. go check it out. The Act on Hulu.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Okay. My mind's just not in it, man. In video games, we have The Division 2 coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. This is the follow-up to the much-loved third-person shared-world shooter RPG from 2016. After a smallpox outbreak causes mass chaos, the government quarantines cities across the country and activates the secret ops team known as The Division to maintain peace and order. This sequel picks up after the events of the first game as Washington, D.C. is now on the brink of collapse. Wait, is this a fictional game? And The Division is once again called in to restore society. That's weird.
Mike trying to insert some political humor in there.
Oh, good for you.
There you go.
If you want an escape from your reality, pick up The Division 2 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC out this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, I'm sorry.
It's all right, Rich. We've only been doing this show for 300 episodes. I'm just going to rub it in now and get that salt shaker. But no, that's fine because we have really big news to get to, of course. We've both been dying to...
Can you blame me?
No, I can't because we wanted to talk about it the day before the podcast and we wanted to talk about it at dinner. We wanted to talk about it before the podcast and we've been waiting patiently for so long to talk about this one topic, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yes, Captain Marvel came out this weekend.
I've been dying to talk about this movie.
We both saw it. Yes. Separate times. You saw it Saturday. I saw it Sunday.
Yes.
For the record, I guess this goes without saying, this is going to be spoiler territory.
Yeah, better to get it out of the way early. It's a spoiler. Ooh, it's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away.
Yep, so there you go. That's the official spoiler warning. Captain Marvel. This was one that I knew you had to go see in the theater. Because Infinity War references it directly at the end of the movie.
Absolutely. And with this being the last MCU release before Endgame, you gotta see it.
Yeah.
Right? You can't skip this one. And a lot of people were thinking the same thing. It was officially the biggest opening weekend for a female-led film. Just astronomical numbers, $455 million worldwide in ticket sales. Yeah. Huge, huge numbers. So a lot of people were thinking the same thing. They had to go out and they had to see this last movie before Endgame, something that was directly referenced in Infinity War. Rich, was it worth the trip?
Yes.
I concur.
I definitely enjoyed it. All right, let me go over.
Yeah.
Things
so where,
that
where do
I
you
want
to start? Go ahead.
Things that I liked. What's her name again? Allison.
The actress?
Yeah. What's the actress' name? I'm sorry, I forget her name.
That's a good question. Oh my God, we have to fire ourselves now. Hold on, I'm getting on it. It is Brie Larson.
Larson.
You were thinking Allison Brie.
Right.
And you
thank
said
you.
Allison. I was like,
thank you.
I was like,
yes.
It's not Allison Brie.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Allison Brie, but it's Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. Look,
thank you.
Hollywood, get your names in order.
Yes.
All right? We can't memorize all of them.
Yes.
All right? This is your fault, not ours.
Sorry. I memorized all the names in the NFL.
I know. It's too many names.
Yeah, everything's
so
falling apart.
Brie Larson.
Now, Brie Larson was great. I thought she's perfectly cast for this role.
Yeah.
You could really see that she took the time to muscle up and pull off all those stunts that she had to do and the fight scenes and everything. I loved the chemistry with Sam Jackson.
Oh, they were so good together.
Yeah. It seemed very natural. I liked all the 90s references.
Oh, it was like mainlining nostalgia.
It's funny. It's kind of like what Guardians did.
For the 80s.
For the 70s and the 80s,
70s,
music.
80s, yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting kind of like parallel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're doing all their decades.
Right.
What's the next decade going to be?
Soon,
I don't know.
They're going to do 2000s.
Oh, God.
Right?
That's just going to be like what happened yesterday.
No.
No.
No. It's now a full decade away.
You shut your mouth, Rich.
Yeah, it is.
You shut your mouth.
It's funny because...
Time is not passing that fast. I refuse to believe it.
It's its own thing now. The aughts, I think, is what they call it.
Yeah.
It's own decade now, officially, with like its own style and everything. Yeah, it's a thing.
I guess so.
I've seen parties advertised as like a 2000s party. It's legit. Anyway.
That's weird. All right, that's another conversation another time.
I liked
Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn. And I liked the fact that he wasn't the outright number one overall bad guy.
Right.
There's actually a component to him that switches into the movie. And I liked that switcheroo that happened.
Yeah.
Because Ben Mendelsohn, I love him as an actor. I followed him since he was on Bloodline.
Yes.
But he's just been the bad guy in every single thing.
Yeah.
Star Wars, Ready Player One. Like, it's just been, like, hitting me over the head. He's the bad guy in every single thing. So
but you're right, though. He's such a phenomenal actor. It's great to see him have a role where he's not just the outright bad guy.
Right.
There's a little bit of nuance there.
Right. So and that's a couple of the good things that I remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
What would you like to mention that's good?
Basically everything you said, the acting was great. The three main people, Brie Larson, Sam Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, all fantastic. I really liked the de-aging that they did with Sam Jackson. I thought that was great.
Yeah, because he has to be younger.
Yeah, they had to make him younger. That was a lot of fun. I really just enjoyed...
So did Coulson. They had to make Coulson
come
back.
Yeah, yeah. And Coulson, I like seeing him come back. I really enjoyed the way the story came full circle. It was a nice feeling at the end to circle back to those flashes we had of Captain Marvel's character, continuously falling and being told she couldn't do it. And then at the end, you know, she has those same scenes. But then we see the other half of the scene, you know, where she crashes and then she stands up.
Yeah.
And she falls off of the thing in the military training and she stands back up.
Yeah.
And it was just this really great full circle moment. You know, I guess maybe it was too clearly telegraphed if you want to get technical, and I'm sure people will fault it for that. I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you want a movie that puts a bow on it.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the bow on this one because I felt like it was deserved watching this character go through this journey, and it made sense for the character. I thought that perhaps the story was a little generic of the classic trope of the hero has to, you know, realize her personal potential before she realizes her superpowered potential. But I still found it really enjoyable. I liked going on that journey of, you know, her trying to grapple with everything that had been placed in her path personally. And I really liked the fact that her personal journey, her inward journey, reflected her outward journey. You know, just structurally, it was generic, but because of that, it was also really sound, if that makes sense.
I think so.
Like, structurally, it was plain, but it also
made... But it works.
But it works, right. Because it's plain, it works, and it feels complete, and it feels like all the pieces fit together. So you get that satisfactory feeling
by
the end of
it. Which, by the way, that shouldn't be overlooked.
What?
That this had to work.
Right.
Think about it.
This is a tough movie. Yeah. This is a tough movie.
This movie was the first female anchor in the Marvel Universe. This movie also had to connect to the Infinity War storyline. And this movie had to do both of those things without seeming like a Black Panther ripoff.
Introducing a brand new character that didn't have a soft launch in another movie.
Right.
Black Panther was soft launched in Civil War. So we didn't need an origin for Black Panther. Captain Marvel had nothing.
Right.
Totally brand new character, female led, and you have to bridge Infinity War and Endgame. That is a tall task.
Right.
And because of that, you're absolutely right. That is a great point. They stayed safe, but it worked.
And it had to work.
And it had to work. And I think that it was exactly what they needed
it's more
to do.
Let me put it another way. It's more important that the story worked rather than being adventurous.
Right. And just
so you may critique it and say it's a little plain.
Right.
But it has to be. You have to be able to pull off all these strings at once or else that movie falls apart.
I completely agree. And just so people don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying it being plain is a negative. In fact, I'm saying what we're both saying is it's the opposite. Like, it needed to be so that it was a sound film and everything went off flawlessly.
Right.
Right? So it might sound like a negative to say it's plain, but I appreciated it. I don't want to say it was plain because it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was tropey.
It falls into the standard archetype.
Right, right.
If you want to make it sound more noble.
Yeah. It was tropey, and it falls into the standard archetype, but it works. And it was fun, and it was good because of it. And, you know, watching her, that last line there, say, I don't need to prove anything to you. I mean, chills. It was great. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And you only get that feeling because you feel like it was earned and everything fit together like those snug little puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
Because it fit those tropes and those archetypes. So in a roundabout way, I'm saying that its plainness, quote unquote, did it a benefit, I think, in my opinion. And you know what? It seems like critically people agree. It's got 79% on Metacritic, or Rotten Tomatoes, sorry. So it's doing very well, critically, commercially. There's one aspect that I want to get to that bothers me about this whole...
Okay, so now we're getting the negatives. Good.
Well, not a negative about the movie, but a negative surrounding the movie. I think you know where I'm going to go here.
Okay.
People online are really trashing this movie, and it pisses me off so much that people are trashing this movie. Because they're not trashing it for, like, actual creative narrative reasons. They're trashing it because it's this female-led superhero movie. I don't know if
You're talking about the bashers from The Last Jedi and all that stuff.
I don't know if you've been seeing any of this or hearing anything about it, but this movie's been bombarded with negative reviews. People who just go in and give it a low rating, even though they've never seen it, and they're just trashing it with no rhyme or reason. And I hate that. I hate when people do that, and I hate that that is a subsect of modern geeky nerdy culture. It pisses me off beyond belief.
Yeah.
I don't know where you stand on it, but when people say I can't connect to the character because it's a person of color or because it's a female or whatever, I hate that excuse, because if you can't connect to a well-written character in a fun, engaging, you know, soundly constructed story, then the fault is on you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Am I going too off the rails? Because I've been reading this and it's been pissing me off.
I would agree. I absolutely agree 100% what you said. And I feel like I'm on both sides of this in a weird way.
Okay.
Because...
Well, that's good. Give us some perspective.
Because as a fan of Star Wars The Last Jedi, I had to fight these people because I loved The Last Jedi. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great, the direction that they took, the risk that they took.
Right.
And people were saying, you know, well, you know, oh, it's a feminist movie. Oh, my gosh. There's three major feminist female leads. This is so not like what I'm used to. And for those people, F off. You're right. Dead wrong.
You're not wanted in the fandom if that's the way you're going to be.
That's being so close-minded. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
And I think those are the people that are coming out and crapping on this movie.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
The flip side is that those people are assholes.
Yes.
Put them aside. You're not they're close-minded, put them away. I don't though want to trying to think about how I want to phrase this.
Uh-oh.
Because for example, the flip side is I hated the Ghostbusters 2016 movie.
But the reason is not because it's female led. The reason is because it's terrible.
Right. Thank you. There's a difference. There's a difference between hating a movie just because it's female led and then hating a movie that you actually saw and you're like, "Oh my God, this is stupid and I can't believe it fell flat."
You can go back. You can go back, and I'm sure that we talked about in the past about how that cast, when it was announced, sounded amazing. It
actually sounded pretty good.
I was so excited for that cast, and then I saw the movie, and I was like, "Oh, that is rough." The writing fell flat. Those characters,
right.
Here's the issue. Those characters were so pigeonholed into their typecast roles, they didn't have any room to grow or experiment.
Yeah, it
or
sucked.
Do things differently.
It sucked.
Yeah.
The 2016 Ghostbusters absolutely sucked.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. If you ask me to this day, I still say it sucked. It was an atrocious cash-in, grab-in by that franchise and Paul Feig and all of them. Ugh.
But the key is we gave actual critical reasons.
Right. So this is where I have to make sure there's a line in the sand, because something like that got trashed on when one of my favorite YouTubers, the Angry Video Game Nerd, if you remember this, we talked about this actually.
I believe so.
The Angry Video Game Nerd came out and said the movie sucked and I don't want to, you know, I wouldn't recommend seeing it. And he's actually well known for being a diehard Ghostbusters fan.
Right.
And when he made that video review, it went viral because all these feminist blogs and feminist websites retweeted it and was like, oh my gosh, this is atrocious. The Angry Video Game Nerd is sexist and this and this. And that's where I need to be like, whoa, all right, hold on. Like, that's where you got to be careful. It's like,
right.
That's where I want to go back to my main point, and I think you actually put it more eloquently than I did. There's a difference between hating this movie, any female-led movie. There's a difference between hating the movie just because there's a female lead and you didn't go see it and you give it a chance versus you gave it a chance, you realized it was more of a cash-in, and you didn't enjoy it. In those two spectrums, Ghostbusters 2016 is absolutely that. It was a cash-in. Yeah. They just put four female actresses that were very popular. They just threw them into a candy cutter script loosely based on Ghostbusters, pumped it out. But Captain Marvel is a fantastic movie.
Yes.
I'm so glad this is part of the Marvel universe.
Yes.
I enjoyed every minute of it, and I think it's a great movie. I think everyone should watch it.
I wholeheartedly agree on all the points you made. And unfortunately, it's something we got to talk about every time that there's a movie that, God forbid, doesn't feature
a white male.
A straight, white, middle-aged everyman,
yeah.
That we have to have this conversation. But I felt it was warranted because of the press it was getting. But,
it's fun. You mentioned, actually, quick tidbit, is before we went to go see the movie on Sunday, I just out of curiosity, actually, it's kind of a fair point. Before you plunker down $25
for those IMAX 3D tickets.
Yeah. You check the reviews.
Right.
And I noticed that on the user reviews, there was a lot of red showing up. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah. And it's usually people that are afraid to step outside their comfort zone, or they feel that it's pushing some type of agenda. And, pushing some type of agenda. What? To empower females? Is that bad? Is that bad now? like this is the disconnect that I don't fully understand.
Females get powers?
Right. I know. It's like
what?
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it like I have two adorable younger female cousins. Three, going to be four this year. This is the type of movie that they need to see. Movies like Moana, movies like Captain Marvel, where they sit there and they go, I want to be like Captain Marvel. I can be like Captain Marvel. We have examples like that. I grew up with Spider-Man. You grew up with Batman. There's no issues there. That's us. I'm Spider-Man. I'm Harry Potter. You're Batman. Whatever. Girls need role models like that. So if one of the 27 MCU films has a female lead, oh my God, the sky is falling. Get over yourselves.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's like 27 heroes. Come on.
There's like 20-some MCU films. There's one lead character that's a person of color. There's one lead character that's a female. Really? I think you can stomach that, MCU fans.
Yeah.
Right?
And if there's one movie devoted from Star Wars to it, I think you're fine with that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't want to devote any more time to that because those people are trolls and you don't feed the trolls. The bottom line is Captain Marvel was a lot of fun, okay?
Oh, yeah.
That is the metric have to measure it on above all else.
Yeah, we went off on a sidetrack there.
Yeah.
Can I get on to the thing that I have a big question mark and I don't know how this is going
to
get handled?
Because we need to analyze the stuff that actually happened in the film, too. So, yes, go ahead.
Okay. What do you want to handle? Analyze that was
well,
in the.
I wanted to talk about the repercussions for Endgame.
Oh, okay.
That where you were going?
Kind of. I was going to go further, but okay.
Okay.
Do what you said.
Okay. So, well, I wanted to bring this up. Because, as we all know, the after credit scene was Captain Marvel showing up at the Avengers headquarters.
Right.
And my brother brought up a really cool point, and I wanted to get your opinion on this theory.
Okay.
Is Captain Marvel a living Infinity Stone? Because she absorbed the power of that device.
Well, that means the hyperdrive or whatever. I forgot what they called it.
Space engine thing. Whatever. Yeah, because that was, it was.
That means that would have had to have an Infinity Stone in it.
Well, it was getting its power from the Tesseract, right? Like, I don't know how
it
works.
But they found the Tesseract after that.
On the ship, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, that's why I'm asking you the theory.
I don't think that pans out? No.
I like that theory. I'm going to go with it anyway.
Can you make a duplicate of an Infinity Stone, maybe?
Is that what you're thinking?
That would be the only way that theory makes sense.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out in Endgame, probably.
Yeah, we'll find out in Endgame. I just want to know how she, because she's clearly the key.
Yeah. Okay, so
but
whatever.
Anyway, all right.
We'll have to find that out in Endgame.
Apparently it wasn't as big of a point of contention as I thought it was going to be.
No.
But
here's something I have a point of contention with.
Okay.
So Captain Marvel apparently can do everything. She's basically the Marvel Universe's answer to Superman.
Yes.
She pretty much can do everything. She can fly. She can shoot things out of her hands.
Right.
She runs at super speed, super strength, the whole nine,
right.
All this super stuff.
She's apparently indestructible, or
right.
as close to
it's
as she
yeah,
can
super,
be.
Super stuff. All right. Super, super, super. All
right.
She'll work in Endgame, because Thanos is that great of a villain. Thanos has actually been the most diabolical villain the MCU has seen.
Yes.
Okay. By this logic, then, she can't survive post Endgame. She can't.
No, why do you say that?
She can't. Because if there's any problem post Endgame, you just call her up and she can handle it. Period. And don't give me this whole she's away or whatever. Uh-uh. No, if there's a problem that's big enough, just call her up and she can handle it. She could probably almost do the whole snappy thing and she'd be freaking that powerful.
Okay, hold on. By that logic, how does it work in the Superman universe? How has Superman been a hero for 80 years?
Because Superman can freaking fly around the Earth and revert time.
This is why
Superman's not a favorite. Even though I love DC Comics, Superman's not really one of my favorite superheroes.
No, Superman.
He's too powerful.
Superman's my least favorite character. But here's the thing. I think that there's a difference because Captain Marvel, she still had to fight. It wasn't easy for her, right? It seemed easy because she was blowing up starships.
Yeah, she literally took down a starship on her own.
But she still, it still required effort of her. And I'm sure that there are some possible limitations to her powers. You have to remember, Thanos has the power of the Infinity Gauntlet. So
right, no, that's why I'm saying Endgame she's fine for. She's good. She's good into Endgame. But obviously, Marvel has a plan after Endgame where they're going to reboot the Avengers or something, where maybe Spider-Man leads the Avengers, something.
Right.
Something's going to happen where there's going to be a new era of the Avengers.
Right.
Captain Marvel, because she's that powerful, she can't be in it. You get what I'm saying? Because you're not going to have a villain that's bigger than Thanos. Thanos can literally control everything. So how can you have a villain that's going to be bigger than Thanos, that's going to pose a bigger threat post-Endgame, and Captain you get what I'm saying? Let me put it to you this way. The stakes are going to be way off post-Endgame.
No.
No.
They won't be.
Why?
There is one villain that just popped into my head immediately. Well, two villains, but one villain that popped into my head immediately. And this is just my Marvel knowledge coming to play here. There's a villain called Galactus. Okay? His whole shtick is that he eats planets. So there are still villains that I hate to blow up your argument.
He eats
planets to sustain his life force. Yes.
So wait,
so Galactus what? Was depicted.
He eats planets.
This is from the Wikipedia page. A godlike figure who feeds by draining living planets of their energy and operates without regard to the morality and judgments of mortal beings. So he's this immortal space being that drains the living energy from planets, and that's how he continues to exist. And typically it takes huge teams of people to take down this character. So
okay.
I don't mean to just crap all over the argument just by pulling out some random villain, but I'll say this, a more practical reason, because one of the Marvel producers actually addressed this, why they didn't call Captain Marvel sooner. Well, let's look at it in terms of scale and scope. The first Avengers, it was just a citywide thing. It was just New York. So they didn't need to call Captain Marvel halfway across the universe to handle a threat for one city. Same thing with Avengers 2, right? It was just one country that was having an issue. Infinity War is different. This is not just
right. This
a
is
city.
Everything.
It's not a country.
Everything in the galaxy.
It's not the planets. Everything in the galaxy.
Good.
So
super, that's fine.
Super Marvel
that's
is
good. That's fine.
Is a galactic hero. Now here's my answer. So she is clearly fighting some type of crazy space civil war between the Kree and the Skrull. So she can't be bothered to fly halfway across the galaxy to constantly handle these problems. That's the whole point of the Avengers Initiative. The Avengers Initiative are Earth's mightiest heroes. They're not the galaxy's mightiest heroes. It's like degrees of severity, right? No, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. If you have the pager for a galactic superhero that's, you know, millions of light years away, which we learned is, what is it, 6 trillion miles?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it was in Quizzo. You can't constantly be calling her to come back to Earth to solve this problem. Because, one, she might not get there in time. And two, she's dealing with other galactic issues, like characters like Galactus or characters like maybe Apocalypse from the X-Men. So that's my answer.
Okay.
Is that I don't think that it's – she's not
my,
Earth's 911.
And my – all right. And my counter argument would be that's okay, but if that's the direction you're going to go in, then the problems post-Endgame should be smaller.
And I think they will be.
They should not be Galactus or whatever.
Galactus.
Yeah. Galactus is the guy we interviewed.
What? Yeah. What I would do is if I were in charge of Marvel, is you have a soft reset. Cap and Iron Man, one dies, one retires. We've said that numerous times. Soft reset. Spider-Man becomes the leader of the new Avengers, and there's smaller scale issues. Maybe the symbiotes from the Spider-Man universe make an appearance. Maybe Magneto, you know, after Disney acquires the X-Men, maybe Magneto comes up and his, you know, army of Sentinels cause issues. And so it's more personal, small-scale battles.
Right.
And then slowly ramp up to
actually,
something like a Galactus.
Actually...
Or an Apocalypse. They bring in the X-Men, so they could bring in Apocalypse.
In what I'm saying, actually, then, Galactus
yes.
would actually be the worst-case scenario.
Yes.
They
would ramp up to that, yeah.
Right. Okay.
That would be their phase 4, 5, and 6. If Marvel goes that way, it might not happen. She might die. Her story might be sacrificing herself in Endgame, because I still think that she could be a living Infinity Stone because she got the power through transmission, through whatever.
Yeah.
I like that theory. I'm going to stick with it even if it doesn't work.
Okay.
So she's going to sacrifice herself, and her sequel movies will be other movies set in the 90s.
Hmm. Okay.
And
well,
she'll die in the most recent timeline, but she will exist in essentially prequel films kind of thing.
Okay. Well, on that note, we got to end the talk there. I know
we went long.
Yeah, we could talk about it all night long, but we got
to
wrap it up.
We've been dying to talk about this for days now.
I was willing to skip a segment over it.
I know. You're like, show be damned.
Sorry. But you know what? It was a good talk, and I'm glad we got to it. But we got to wrap this up. But coming up next, as always, I've got the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to crispy noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. There's one more thing I forgot to mention about Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
I loved Goose.
Oh, yes. He definitely has to get an Academy Award.
Yes, give that cat an award.
That was one of my favorite parts.
Yes.
Just the interaction between him and Samuel L. Jackson was great.
Yes. And I love cats.
Yes. It was an adorable cat.
Yeah.
Can't deny that.
It kind of looked like my cat, Tiger.
It did.
Orange.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out for Tiger.
Yeah, he's going to be a star. You know, we always say he kind of looks like the cat from Men in Black, Orion. The galaxy's on Orion's belt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He looks exactly like that one. It's eerie.
You should try him out for movies.
Yeah. Maybe he could have a career.
There you go.
But in the meantime, though, we have a different career that we have to talk about. And that is the ones that get wrapped up in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. What do you got for us cooking up this week?
Okay, I got two quick stories here.
And okay.
I love just...
Pow.
I just love visually both of these.
All right.
And they're both animals, too. Interesting.
Ooh, animal stories. That's fun.
This first one is animals and golf. An interesting combination.
Okay. All right. There's a lot of weird rules with animals and golf. If they touch the ball, they move the ball...
Well, there you go. You're already stumbled across it.
All right.
Because in British Columbia, a golfer captured actual video... in which an eagle actually touched his ball and helped transform a decent shot into a hole-in-one.
What?
Talk about a hole-in-one.
Yes.
Is that allowed?
Talk about a hole-in-one.
Yep. So here's what happened. The golfer said that he was playing his first round of the year at a Vancouver area golf course. He shot a great shot onto the green on his tee shot. Then an eagle landed on the green and started playing with the ball.
Okay.
apparently this eagle liked actual golf.
I guess so. Well, I mean, look, golf has eagles in it, right?
That's right. Exactly. So he's probably like, I've arrived. Here I am.
The eagle helped turn a birdie into a hole-in-one.
So the video shows that the eagle eventually takes the ball and drops it into the hole.
Wow.
Talk about a hole in one.
Yeah.
I'm calling shenanigans.
What do you mean?
Could somebody hypothetically train
an eagle?
Bird? No, seriously. Well, yeah. Have you seen those falconer people?
I guess you could.
That's pretty badass, right? You could train a bird, be like, you know, get this object
and put it in the hole.
Right?
Yep. Well,
is it allowed? Like, what happened? So the eagle touched the ball and put it in the hole. What does that officially go as a first? Is that officially a hole in
one? You want the official ruling?
It's not going to be allowed, is it?
If this took place in an actual PGA tournament,
yeah,
you would not get a hole-in-one. The rules say that...
That's not fair.
Yeah. The rules say you have to replace the ball at the location because that's an external interference acting on your ball. You don't get penalized.
Okay.
But you have to replace the ball where it landed.
Now, wasn't there a weird rule where a ball landed on an anthill and they didn't let the person move the ball or something?
That's right.
We have to do it. What's pissing me off? Because golf can't have it both ways. You can't be like, oh, the external force isn't allowed to help you, but it's allowed to hurt you?
Sure. You know what? I'm going to go with that's probably it, because golf is designed to make
Why
you more frustrated.
Why does golf hate its fans? The real issue here is golf hates its fans.
It's a frustrating sport.
NFL is the best sport. Prove me wrong.
All right, well.
Prove me wrong, people.
Anyway, so let's go back to this guy here.
Okay, yeah, let's hear about this guy.
Here's
he trained the eagle, didn't he?
No, but here's the footnote. This wasn't for a PGA tournament.
Okay.
So even though the PGA rules say you're supposed to replace it, the actual golf course has recognized that it was a hole in one.
That's nice.
Yes, so they're going to give him credit as an actual hole in one.
I feel like that's fair.
Right. And they're allowed to because isn't a PGA tournament.
Right.
They're not playing for money.
Right.
This is more just course records, stuff
right.
like that.
And
I applaud this golf course.
Just like external forces can hurt people, they should also be allowed to help people. That's my official, I don't know anything about golf ruling.
Well, there you go. But if this wasn't actual, if this happened in like the majors, wouldn't fly.
See?
But because
that
this
ticks
is...
me off. Every time something makes golf exciting, they're like, no, I'm a crotchety old man, and I won't allow it, damn it.
Damn it, damn it. Fucking my golf.
Back in my day, the birds weren't big enough to carry our balls. Like,
no damn birds. There's no damn birds.
Like, what is the... Like, it's just golf.
It's what you said. They're worried people are going to train eagles to actually do what you just said.
I would love if they sat down and they had this exact conversation. And they're like, what if people trained eagles to do this?
Oh, could not be allowed.
No, it can't be.
So there you go. There's your answer.
This is why I simultaneously hate and love golf. Because it takes all the fun out of it, but also it does it in the most bizarre and insane ways possible. So it becomes enjoyable. You know, it's like a joke so bad it becomes funny again.
Okay, well, as long as you're getting, as long as you enjoy golf, that's all that matters.
I do get some enjoyment out of it. Yes.
Talk about a hole in one.
Good. As long as you like it. But that actually did happen. British Columbia, an eagle helped out a golfer get a hole in one.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Nice job, eagle.
I like that.
This is why eagles are the best. Fly, eagles, fly.
Fly. Yes. Exactly. Everything goes back to the football.
Yes.
Confirmed.
All right, but this next story, this is a class. I always love being able to mention this animal when I can.
Is it a goat?
Nope. We're going to talk about a llama.
I was once a treehouse, and I'm in a rake. The farmer slayed the rake. It was only 3 days.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yes, it's a great song. So here's what happened in this story and why we're mentioning it. A llama made for an unlikely traffic hazard near an Ontario school. Yeah.
Okay.
We have a llama delay on the way to school.
Delay.
St. Joseph's Catholic School posted a photo on Facebook showing that a llama that was trotting down the middle of a snowy road was blocking school buses to getting to the school.
So I'm assuming it came from like a llama farm somewhere. I didn't even realize they had llama farms up in Canada. Isn't it too cold for llamas? For some reason, this is going to sound weird. I know I'm going to catch some complaints, but I always thought that llamas were like a warm climate animal? Because don't they breed them in South America?
Well, I guess somehow.
Or am I totally, completely 110% wrong on that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about llama biology, but.
Come on, Rich. Why not?
I don't know. The only thing I know is the llama song. So
I have the answer.
Oh, you got the answer?
Yeah. So llama is a domesticated South American camelid. So I guess it's part of part of the camel family.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So they are South American. They like, I guess, warmer climates in South America. It's warm, I assume. I don't know. So that's how it works, right? That's how geography works. So Canada is very cold for a llama. Somebody's got to help me out here because I think I'm totally wrong on this, but I'm still going with it.
Okay. Well, here's what they said. The locals said that the llama belonged to a family whose barn burned down in a fire last year.
Oh, no.
But with all this happening, they said that the llama was running loose for some time, but since this happened, it has been happily returned to the family.
Oh, that's nice.
So it ended in a good note.
So, wait, you said it burned down last year?
Yeah.
And it's just been, what, living in the wild since
then? Yeah, it's just been running around, yeah.
Wow, give that llama some props, man.
Yeah.
This thing was living on a farm.
It's just been on the loose.
Right, no, well, think about it. This thing was living on a farm, and then it's just, like, thrown out there into the wild, and it's, like, surviving the Canadian wilderness. And it's like,
sure.
It's just fighting off grizzly bears. It's doing llama stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. What do llamas do? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Living their fullest llama lives. And it survived.
Yeah.
It's a fight. This llama is a fighter, Rich. I don't think you really appreciate the fact that this is like, this is a tale of survival and overcoming immense obstacles. Right? This llama is a hero.
It should be a movie.
It should be. Canada should make this llama its new prime minister. They should make a movie about it. And also, I remember that I have family in Canada right now. So to my Canadian relatives, get on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Contact your government. This llama needs to be recognized as a national hero.
And if they're not going to do it, we should make a movie about it.
That's right.
Yes.
Larry the Llama. Larry the Llama lives.
Yes.
I love it.
He was lost after a tragic family bonfire.
He only knew one life, but it was stolen from him. And instead of giving up, he looked at the horizon, and he marched on his little llama hooves all the way through the Canadian wilderness in search of love, life, llama freedom. And he found it!
Coming this summer,
Larry the Llama Lives.
Available in theaters worldwide.
It's so beautiful. I think we just won a screenwriting award.
There we go.
In the Oscars.
Note that down.
Big news. Big news here.
Note that
best,
down.
Best original screenplay.
We're going to do it. It's going to happen.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to write it.
There you go. But true story there out of Canada. All right, let's go to South Carolina in this next story.
All right, what do you got?
Yeah, been a while since we have South Carolina.
Yeah.
In this story, a drive-thru customer enraged by the lack of meat on his Mexican pizza stormed through a Taco Bell, walked into the kitchen area, and decided to make his own food.
Oh, no.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell. Incharito, macho burrito.
Yeah.
Just everything about this story is alarming. But the most alarming thing is, why are you ordering pizza from Taco Bell?
Well, no, it's a Mexican pizza.
Right, but that still doesn't sound great.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
right? Like, I heard that, and I was like, ooh, no, that's a bad... Like, there's so many choices you can make, but don't make that one.
According to cops, the suspect entered the Taco Bell Wednesday afternoon complaining that there was not enough meat on my Mexican pizza.
Rich, you can make your own on their website.
Oh, why didn't you go through the app?
Should I customize it? Let's see. Extra seasoned beef.
Okay, while you do that.
Okay, I'm going to make my own. I'm going to see how expensive I can make this. You read the story.
All right, let me read the story. A store employee told cops that she tried to remake the suspect's food. The man, however, was still displeased at the second pizza. So, wow, he can't be settled. This is two pizzas.
Like, what is he looking for? Like, what does he want from this pizza?
I don't think he wants pizza. I think he just wants meat at this point.
They could just give him the container.
You're asking for the wrong
meat.
Food.
Yeah.
When told that he could not see a manager, he became enraged. That's when he declared, "I'm going to show you guys how to make this the right way."
I'm sure they'll allow that.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell. Incharito, macho burrito.
That's when the man then decided to walk behind the counter right into the kitchen area and then began making his own food. Wow, he's on a mission.
You know what, though? That's pretty impressive for, like, not knowing anything about it. He's just whipping it all together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you really think he just shows up into their kitchen and he just starts making it. Like,
yeah. You guys suck.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, well, like, what were they doing that they failed so badly that some stranger had to come in and make it?
He did not follow proper health and safety guidelines because he did not wear protective gloves.
Well, that goes without saying, really.
That's when he finished making his Mexican pizza and left the store. An eyewitness said that he was obviously angry and upset. Investigators described the enthusiast as a black man with braids and dreadlocks. He was dressed in a dark sweatshirt and gray pants. He left the restaurant in a Dodge Challenger driven by a woman who never entered the restaurant.
Okay.
So I guess the whole time this girl was just waiting there and
while her crazy boyfriend was making a Mexican pizza in the
properly.
Taco, well, properly, but also in violation of health codes.
Yeah. And he got away. So apparently, I don't know if he's ever going to be found. But if he is, he would face misdemeanor, larceny, and trespassing charges.
Some people expect way too much from fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
You know? Just, like, I know, like, yes, the customer's always right, yada, yada, yada. But, like, you got it, and they have a set amount of meat that they probably put on there.
Yeah.
You know, it comes prepackaged.
Right. There's probably a block or something.
On their website, you can ask for extra meat. So maybe you should have done
app.
That. Right. Because I built a $17 Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You want to know what it has on it?
Sure.
It's got a lot. Okay, so I got black beans, cheese, chicken, Fritos, jalapeno peppers, lettuce, onions, potatoes, red strips, whatever that is, seasoned fries. They have fries at Taco Bell now? That's kind of alarming. Seasoned rice, shredded chicken, and steak. And for the sauces, I put avocado ranch, chipotle, creamy jalapeno, guacamole, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, red sauce, whatever that is, reduced fat sour cream, salsa, and spicy ranch.
I kind of want you to actually order it and see how this is going
to
look.
I mean, I can add it to order. Like, how does this work? Add to order. Let's see. It's 2,000 calories and $17.
That's
$17. It's not that big. It's only on one tortilla. But, like, how, like, is it going to be like a Mexican pizza cake?
It's going to be a cake at this rate.
Checkout. Oh, wait, you can guest checkout. Do they deliver?
Uh-oh.
Can I get this delivered? Oh, no, pickup details.
There you go. That's the rub.
Yeah, sorry. We can't, maybe another show.
Yeah.
We'll live order food.
Right, we gotta keep going on this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Next story, let's go to Arizona next one.
We just talked about the Phoenix Suns earlier.
Yeah, so
and how it's stupid that they play there and they should go somewhere else.
Yeah, and here they are, another odd news story.
That's right.
An Arizona woman dressed as a nun and carrying a Bible in her lap was arrested when a search of the car she was riding in with her husband turned up more than 8 pounds of fentanyl, according to investigators.
God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, you know, God wants you to take fentanyl.
Got
to
have that fentanyl.
Yeah.
Increases the spirit.
Yeah, it definitely definitely does. That is a very popular drug nowadays,
yeah.
Fentanyl. It's all the rage in all the news stories I see.
53-year-old Esther Gomez de Aguilar and her spouse were pulled over Monday afternoon while traveling on I-10 in Eloy, Arizona. Cops say that the couple's vehicle was stopped due to an equipment violation. Upon talking with the passengers, they noticed that there were several suspicious circumstances that prompt the cop to search the vehicle.
Such as the
cop also frisked the couple. According to police, that's when they found Gomez de Aguilar's purse. It contained four bundles of suspected fentanyl pills and two other bundles of fentanyl powder. And another bundle of powder that was concealed under her nun clothing.
An awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Well, look, nunning must be very boring.
Yes.
So you have to have something to pass the time.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just praying and eating and sleeping.
How are we going to get the youth into the nunnery?
Right. That should be the first line of the pitch. It's like, you want to be a nun? Here's some drugs. Everyone's like, cool, sign me up.
Free drugs.
Yeah.
Here you go.
There you go.
And we won't say a word.
And we won't say a word. That's right. Imagine how many secret little pockets they got on the inside of those nun robes.
Yeah.
You know?
A total of 8.5 pounds of fentanyl were seized.
That's a lot of fentanyl.
Yeah.
8.5 pounds?
Yep.
They come in little tiny pills.
Yeah. So she's a lot on her. The cop noticed that Gomez de Aguilar wore a nun outfit and a lace veil. Also with a Bible. So she had the full costume going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, dedication to her craft.
Right.
Of impersonating a nun.
She's charged with the possession of narcotics for sale and transportation. Gomez de Aguilar and her husband are each being held in the county jail in lieu of a $25,000 bond.
I want to know what the suspicious things were that the cops noticed.
You're traveling with a dude?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. It's like, that should have been the first clue. Yeah. Like, this nun is
traveling with
married,
a dude,
yeah,
who's not a priest.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What's the nun doing?
And she's got a purse.
Why can't nuns have purses?
I don't know. I thought nuns are supposed to be
poverty?
Vow of poverty. Yeah.
Well, they could still
have a Gucci purse.
Well, I guess not, unless it was donated. That's how they get around a lot of that stuff. They get stuff donated. You know? They're like, oh no, I can't afford a purse.
Right.
I need someone to get me a Gucci purse.
Ja Rule gave me a Gucci purse. Thank you. Thank you, Ja.
There you go. I don't know. Ja Rule.
It's a miracle.
Praise be.
Praise be.
It came to me from heaven above.
It was in the lost and found. Someone left it one of the pews.
You have to imagine. You have to imagine they take some stuff from the lost and found.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sure. Unfortunately, this was a fake nun, and nuns don't carry fentanyl. Sorry.
It's part of their religious order. It's part of their beliefs.
All right. I think this is going to have to be our last one because we're running short on time here.
All right.
But it is our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I think, you know what, this is a good one to end on anyway. So, yeah, it all works out.
All right, yeah, Florida closing things out.
And I think you're going to like it as well.
All right, what do you got?
a Spider-Man mask.
Yes!
That was hastily purchased at a thrift store wasn't enough to keep one Florida man... Oh, God is still playing.
From worshiping God.
Yeah. A Spider-Man mask hastily purchased at a thrift store wasn't enough to keep one Florida man from being identified during a burglary at a liquor store.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yep. Deputies said that they nabbed Edward Fast Eddie Wilburn.
Fast Eddie.
After he stole bottles and cigarettes from a liquor store.
Who gave him that nickname? Did he give himself that nickname?
I don't know, but it's...
Fast Eddie?
I don't know. It's in the news report here.
Okay.
Surveillance video from the store shows Wilburn with his face covered in a Spider-Man mask, grabbing multiple bottles and putting them into a box before running away. Now, let's add a little bit more confusion to this.
Okay.
Because maybe the mask might have worked if Wilburn hadn't originally robbed the store before without the disguise.
Come on.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Yes.
It's the best clip ever.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
So let me get this straight. He robbed the store. Was it that same day?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So he robbed the store, and he thought, you know what? I didn't get enough.
So
he figured, I'll just get a mask, and I'll go back.
So there was previous surveillance video from before the Spider-Man break-in that showed his first attempt.
Oh, my God.
According to Deputy Bruce Milne, he said that, quote, "It was just a matter of absolute surprise. It seems that he tried to walk up to the door first, try to break in, then leave. Then it must have clicked in his head, oh, I might get recognized if I do this without a mask.
Oh,
if I do this
God.
With a mask on." So Milne said that when he saw the footage, his own spidey sense started tingling and he recognized the man in the video as Wilburn from the first attempt.
Oh, come on. He was probably wearing the same clothes, too. That should have been.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Oh. What? He really is dumb.
Yes.
So he didn't even get in the first time then.
Yeah, actually the first time is a failure. Yeah.
Oh my God. Dude, it's a sign. It's a sign. Just leave.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
What did he take? He just took liquor? Like in really the, you're
in,
that desperate?
In the second attempt?
Yeah, in the second attempt.
Yeah, he just flat out bottles and cigarettes.
Really, all that effort for liquor and cigarettes?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I guess, you know what, I guess...
He didn't even take money. Like, I'm judging him because he didn't take money. Isn't that weird?
It's either that or it's very rough times for Spider-Man right now.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's hitting the bottle again.
Yeah.
Just a boozing Spider-Man. Swinging around the city, web in one hand.
Or he's an old Spider-Man and he's just, you know...
Retired Spider-Man?
Right, and he just got abandoned with the whole Marvel universe now.
Yeah, and that's just how he spends his days, just smoking and drinking.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Spider-Man trying to do what he does, like, after smoking, like, a pack a day?
How do you get the cigarette in... your mouth.
He cuts a mouth hole.
Yeah, you gotta, yeah, like that's the only way you're gonna be able to do it.
It's so awkward. There's just this misshapen hole cut out around his mouth.
Yeah, kid, I used to be Spider-Man.
His suit's like all like dirty. There's like stains on it and tears and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like belly's poking out, you know, under the shirt. He's got like a shopping bag, you know, he's just got all his liquor and cigarettes in, just swinging around. Do you think it would be hard to swing around the city while smoking and drinking?
Yeah, you're going to be coughing up a lung.
Like, that requires a lot of coordination, you know, to, like, manage all that.
Spider-Man, can you help us?
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a minute.
He just takes a quick swig. Gulp. All right. Teeters off the edge of a building.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So.
That's the unannounced DLC for the...
For the Spider-Man Sony game.
Spider-Man game.
There
yeah.
you go. Coming soon.
It's beer swilling pack a day Spider-Man. It's the last costume that you get to unlock.
Yeah.
I'd download it. That sounds amazing.
Fat Spider-Man.
Fat Spider-Man. Alcoholic Spider-Man. Think of the gameplay additions, Rich.
So, deputy said that after his first robbery attempt failed, he left the scene, went to a local secondhand store, bought the Spider-Man mask.
Time out. No. He spent money. He spent... Oh, this is making me... He spent money on a Spider-Man mask. so that he could steal booze and cigarettes. Why don't you just take that money and use it to buy the booze? There's cheap booze. You could have found booze for the cost of a Spider-Man mask, probably.
He must have needed more of it or something.
He needed more of it. Oh, my God. Priorities, people.
Yes.
Priorities.
Very important to have them.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Exactly.
So...
You already committed to... No.
Yeah,
you already committed to robbing one place, and you're like, wait, I better do this right. So I'm going to go and not rob the second place. I'm going to buy something like a normal person and then get back to my thieving ways.
Right.
Like, you took a little break in the middle there.
Right.
It's like he reverts back to normal, logical human thinking.
Right.
And he goes back to being a thief. Like, you've already committed once to doing it. Why don't you just rob the Spider-Man mask, too? Why pay for it? And if you have the money to pay for the mask, why don't you just pay for the liquor in the first place? There's so many issues with this.
Robbing takes a lot out of you. You know, you failed the first time, you're tired, you don't want to rob the place with the Spider-Man store.
Because then he would have to rob, like, essentially, he would have to commit three robberies
in
this
a row.
Right, yeah.
You're going to break a sweat.
Yeah.
The guy's already fat.
Right, and the mask gets all, you know, did you ever wear a Halloween costume? You start sweating under the mask.
It's not good.
No, it's not comfortable.
You're still Spider-Man. You have to look good.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, very important.
Oh, my God.
Once Milne realized who was behind the mask, they were able to track down Wilburn. Wilburn was arrested on charges of burglary of an occupied structure and committing a third-degree felony while wearing a mask. That's apparently a charge.
That's its own separate charge. Both of those charges are super interesting. I've never heard that. What was it, something of an occupied building?
A burglary of an occupied structure.
Occupied structure?
I think they were just being fancy with that one.
Yeah.
But the separate one, committing a third-degree felony while wearing a mask, that's a separate charge.
So if he wasn't wearing a mask, would it be more or less egregious?
I guess less.
That's so weird.
Right. I didn't realize masks, I guess, I don't know.
Because
you're trying to be intimidating? I have no idea. I don't know. Why is that a separate charge?
Yeah, why is it a separate charge? I want to know how detailed they get. Like, if you're wearing gloves, does that show, like, there was intent there because you're trying to, you know, cover up your fingerprints. So is that like another extra charge? Attempted burglary with a mask and gloves?
It's either that or...
Like, how deep down the rabbit hole will they go?
It's either that or these cops realized how stupid he was. They need to be punished for it.
And they're like, we need to punish 100% of the stupid.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Yeah.
So. I love that line so much. That's great. That's The Office.
Yeah. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially end the show, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that Alcoholic Spider-Man is the latest DLC costume coming to the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game.
Sony
super
can't
excited.
Wait.
Yeah. Think about all the new gameplay additions, like trying to web swing while drunk, you know, trying to balance smoking the cigarettes and maintaining your stamina as you swing through the city. So many new challenging gameplay opportunities.
Yes.
I think that Insomniac should look into it.
Yep.
I think we got a good idea here in our hands.
Yep. Call them up.
You know what else? We have another good idea. Give drugs to kids. No, wait. No. To convince them to become nuns.
Yes.
Right? See, it's all for a good purpose.
Right. Step one, drugs. Step two, nuns.
Right. It sounds bad at first, but it's actually still really bad. So,
yes.
Just in case that wasn't clear.
That's the theme of the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Absolutely. You know what else is a bad idea? Is a $17 Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
How's that going to end up?
Very, very disgusting.
Yeah, I think so.
It's basically a Mexican pizza cake with all that stuff you add to it. There's a lot of ideas. We've had a lot of ideas, some good, some bad. But the best one we've had has to be the movie we created.
Yes.
That's nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
Already.
Larry the Llama Lives.
It makes me cry just thinking about
it. It makes me choke up. I'm getting chills. We talked about how amazing Captain Marvel was. Larry the Llama Lives is even better.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Go see it.
Yes.
And finally, we learned that Cleveland's economy is based on OBJ.
Now
it is.
Yeah, after that trade.
Cleveland Super Bowl 2019-2020.
I don't know about Super Bowl, but
playoffs.
They're going to win that division, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's something we learned.
Yeah.
Browns are for real.
Yeah. And there you go. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Chris Mule Podcast.
Wow. It never ends. I can't believe I don't. All right. We're going back to football talk, Rich, for just a second.
We got
to
wrap it up because
this literally broke as soon as you played that music.
As we were trying to finish the show.
Former Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell plans to sign with the New York Jets when free agency officially opens.
About to get all stupid up in here.
Yep. All right. There you go.
This is okay. So Adam Schefter, hold on. I'm literally pulling up tweets that are being made like
right now
as we are speaking. Le'Veon Bell, 4 years, $52.5 million with the Jets. This is Adam Schefter on Twitter.
Wow.
I wish we had more time to talk about this. Hot take, Rich.
There you go.
What does this do for the Jets? Does this change things in that division?
Slightly.
Propels them into second,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, that's what I would – that would be my knee-jerk reaction. They at least can contend now, and maybe they'll steal a win from the Patriots.
Yeah.
But it's still the Patriots' division.
Yeah.
I think this speaks more about the Ravens. I thought the Ravens were trying to land them.
Yeah, that was one of the rumors we were tracking.
And if that's the case, then it's absolutely full sail ahead. I'm going to go with the Browns. It's their division to lose.
Definitely the Browns in the AFC North. The Jets to at least compete in the AFC East. And this also changes the market for Tevin Coleman, who was widely regarded as the second best running back on the market. So we'll keep you posted with updates about that. But there you go. Late breaking news.
Yeah.
Literally, as we're ending the show, I was like, let me just check. Let me do my due diligence. And I'm like, son of a bitch,
it happened.
So there you go. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets.
There you go.
Close to $60 million. Big news there.
All right. So there you go. What a way to end the show.
This has been literally the most jam-packed show ever.
Yeah. Everything has gone off the rails. But we thank you for sticking with us during this week's episode. You know what, though? In the grand scheme of things, I think the OBJ trade is the bigger news story.
Le'Veon Bell was supposed to get a lot more.
Yeah.
The Steelers offered him 15 a year, and he's not getting 15 a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There you go. Suck it. I don't know.
Yeah, suck it, Le'Veon Bell.
I don't know. Whatever. No, I have no idea.
And that's how we are officially ending this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. So there you go. This has been the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed our crazy ride between the sports, the entertainment, and the odd news, and then back to sports.
Full circle.
Yes. Full circle of news here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to send us odd news stories, hit us with NFL free agency news, or tell us what you're watching and playing and doing in entertainment, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening and give us any ideas that you want us to talk about here on the show.
Absolutely.
Whether it's odd news, entertainment, or sports. Yeah, let us know. Shoot it our way. We take everything under advisement.
Yes.
But for right now, we have to wrap this up. I know we have all the free agency news happening, but we got to wrap this one up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Well, that'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
No, well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!